We'll begin with a series of no-brainer questions, moving from the secular to the spiritual. Question is, who is more important? Is it the star on the stage or the guy up there in the scaffolding aiming a spotlight at the star on the stage? Is it the candidate winning the election or on the verge of that, or the person who runs his campaign? Who is more important? Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world, or the Old Testament apostle or prophet, foretelling Jesus, the New Testament apostle, writing an entire gospel about him, or the Christian pastor preaching a sermon about the Savior? The answer is obvious. And yet, at the time of Christ, there were some who should have known better, who did not realize the importance. They were disciples of John the Baptist, who said to John these words of our text in John chapter 3. Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. It does seem that these disciples of John were rather attached to their teacher and quite concerned about the size of the following Jesus had in comparison to John, who, of course, would take measures to straighten them out. He reminded them of his own testimony, that he was not the Christ, Jesus was the Messiah, and he, John, was just the forerunner. Then he brought up the example of a wedding, where you have a bride, a groom, and what we would call the best man. The bride belongs to the groom, not to the friend of the groom. Now, in this example, there's some symbolic imagery going on. The bride represents all the believers. Jesus is the groom, and John would be the best man friend, who was quite happy to see the bride go to her husband. That's the way it should be, John says in these words. He must increase, but I must decrease. We apply that passage to our own situation. Our pastors and teachers are very much in the same position as John the Baptist. They lead people, young and old, to know and depend on the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin, death, and hell. In a similar way as John, they point out the Christ that God has promised. They point the attention to that one who came to do and to die for us, to take away all sin, and to win the victory of eternal life for all people. In our day, though, there could be something of a challenge involved. People no longer are able to relate to Jesus visually, in person, but they can and do relate that way to their pastors and professors. This could increase the tendency to place too much focus, too much attention on the messenger, rather than on the one who sent the messenger and saved the people and gave them their hope of eternal life. Certainly it is God's will regarding your relationship with your pastor that you're on friendly terms with him, that you honor, respect, and love him and pray for him and support him at all times. But above all, we need to see our pastor, our teacher, our chapel speakers as the extension of Jesus himself. When the messenger relates the truths of law and gospel from the Bible, the audience needs to hear and receive that as Jesus talking, as Jesus delivering. Everyone involved in the exchange of chapel or church should keep very good track of what the Lord said about all those who speak in his name. He who hears you hears me. On that same basis, then, pastors and professors and teachers of other kinds of teachers of God's word at lower levels, they all need to not only recognize that they represent the Lord, but that they serve the Lord faithfully by delivering all that he said in his word, nothing added or subtracted. This is not some formality. We can't go through the motions in the pulpit or in the classroom. There needs to be diligent preparation, careful thought, study, prayer, even the helpful use of some kind of visual aid or technology. This God-given task definitely deserves our best efforts as his spokesman and your best efforts as his audience. But none of that will make the law of God more effective as the mirror of our sin and condemnation, or make the gospel of Christ more effective as the healing of the soul. No matter how engaging the preacher or the teacher may be in his presentation, he cannot do or even enhance a little bit what only the Spirit can do in a person's heart and mind. This is a very good thing, that the power of the Word is not reduced by the man who speaks it as he speaks it faithfully. In fact, it does its work in spite of the frailty of the man who speaks it. So when pastor and members, when teacher and the students all have their focus and attention on that word from God about Christ, Jesus grows. He increases in stature and importance, while the messenger follows the trajectory of John the Baptist, fading into the background, getting replaced someday by another, such as some of you. That's the way it should be. That's the way it will be when the Lord sets our hearts and minds to see and hear him and receive his saving words of eternal life through all the messengers that he sends to us. Amen. We'll close this morning with hymn 296, stanzas 1 and 3. Stanzas 1 and 3, hymn 296.